Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Let's ask Nathan Zagura, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, tonight, Mike Tyson or Jake Paul? It's not who you got winning. It's who you're rooting for to win.
1,000,000,000% Mike Tyson.
A billion percent.
That's Iron
percent.
Mike Tyson. Of course.
A billion percent.
Right. I think there's probably an age gap in terms of the support.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Tyson was definitely a fixture. I mean, I remember exactly where I was when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear. I remember watching a lot of Mike Tyson fights. My next-door neighbor was a huge boxing guy from back in the days of James Bone Crusher Smith, and we used to watch all the big fights at his house, and obviously every Mike Tyson fight. He was a phenom, obviously a great rise, great fall. Then comes back, hangover, all of it brings him back into the spotlight. Fascinating life, obviously. So, yeah, I'm definitely rooting for him. It's Mike Tyson. Plus, it would be if Mike Tyson knocks him out at, 58 years old, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, I root for him. I want Mike Tyson to win. I don't hate Jake Paul. It seems a lot of people hate Jake Paul. I don't know. I used to act like I did. I think it was misguided hate. I don't know why. But I think his brother's
one of the most talented WWE performers ever, honestly.
I wonder if that's Logan why.
Ever.
I wonder if that's why.
Oh,
he's very ever. Tony, he's very good.
Yeah, but I didn't know
oh,
ever.
Oh, my God. Yes. Talented. If you talk to, guys that have worked with him, his ability, the speed with which he picked up their business and his athleticism, the things he's able to do, are off the charts. They can't even believe how good he is. And it's not something that he wasn't one of these guys that, toured the world starting at, age 16 or 18, and this was all he ever wanted to do. But once he got involved, he picked it up. So he's unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard.
What do they say about how Nathan Zagura picked up the business?
Listen, 1-0. 1-0 against the legend Jeff Jarrett. So
The record speaks for itself.
That's right.
That's outrageous. We got the great Nathan Zagura who joins us on the show. That was wonderful. All right, Nathan, we got a game coming up on Sunday. Saints, Browns, it's weird. Jameis played in this one. Could Jameis play his way into being the starter in 2025?
I mean, I think you'd always have to say anything's on the table, right? I mean, if all of a sudden he rips off, 7 wins here in the last 8 games, then certainly you would have to consider that, I would think, right? I mean, he's a talented guy, former number 1 overall pick. I think you kind of know the book on Jameis Winston is that he's going to be able to, throw you into a lot of games, and at times he will throw you out of some games. And I think that's probably why he hasn't been a full-time starter since 2019, which was, he led the league in passing that year. Now he also threw for over 30 touchdowns, but also led the league with over 30 interceptions. So, anything's on the table, I would imagine. I mean, you've seen his ability to push the ball down the field, his willingness to push the ball down the field, and that certainly has opened some things up. So I know he's excited to return to New Orleans. I think, we'll see how it goes. I think at some point, if you do get eliminated officially from playoff contention, I think you got to see DTR, because I think you need to understand, number one, could he be a starter for you if you needed him to be? Number two, can he be your long-term backup? And number three, you know, can he play four games in a row without getting injured? And that's something we have not yet seen from him.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When you look at this offense, David Njoku, you know, he was a trade conversation a couple of weeks ago. It hasn't been the type of season he's wanted it to be. I know you disagree with that, but I mean the people talking his people. He's been great. He's been injured. He's been great. He's been injured. Where are we at with David Njoku in the second half of the season? Can we salvage this thing and make the numbers look good?
Yeah, I think he's finally starting to get healthy. I mean, and if you look at the fact that, you know, he missed a good number of games at the beginning of the season, and I think he's been actually pretty productive since he's come back. He's got at least 5 receptions in 4 straight games. So he's been a part of the offense, 2 touchdowns, which on our team puts that's good for second on the entire team, scoring 2 touchdowns behind just Cedric Tillman. So, no, I think he's been good. I think it's just he's got to be healthy.
And when Rodney McLeod, co-host here on the show on Tuesdays. Yeah, our co-host.
Who was, for a long time, the Browns' leading touchdown scorer. That was before Cedric Tillman went bananas. So, I like what I've seen from David Njoku. I think he's getting healthier, and that's good. Not even on the injury report this week, and I think that bodes very, very well for him over the second half of the season.
All right, Nathan, this is what Brian Baldinger said about his role in this offense and what the coaches should be doing. This was Baldinger on the afternoon show yesterday.
For a long time, I thought Njoku was underused. Then he got paid, and he had a great season last year. And then this year, he seems to be that guy that used to play in Cleveland that they didn't pay any attention to. I don't know why, when you have a tight end that runs like that, that has the size that you never have to take off the field because he's a decent blocker, like why anybody can't get him the ball. There's ways to get the ball to the tight end. I don't care what offense you're in. And so whether it's tight end delays, tight end dumps, tight end stick routes, like there's a million ways, man or zone, that you can get the tight end the ball. And they just seem oblivious to that.
All right, Nathan, obviously you know that this offense at times had no problem humming last year, especially towards the end of the year with Flacco, and David Njoku was a big part of that. Do you think that it's just the injury? Do you think it's they're not in rhythm and the quarterback shuffling? What do you think it is?
I mean, I would push back just a little bit on that. I don't know how many tight ends in the NFL, period, full stop, have at least 5 catches in each of their last 4 games. So to have 5 catches, you've got to be getting a decent number of targets and you're getting the football. Now, I'd like to see him be able to get down the field a little bit more used in some of those catch situations, but in the red zone, he scored 2 times in his last 3 games. So I think he is getting the ball. I would like to, obviously, you're getting the ball to Cedric Tillman, you're getting the ball to Jerry Jeudy, you're getting the ball to Elijah Moore, you're getting the ball to David Njoku. I mean, against the Ravens, the Browns had 4 receivers with more than 60 yards, which has only happened one other time in the league this year with the Atlanta Falcons when Kirk Cousins threw over 500 yards against the Bucs and set the franchise record. So he's over 60 yards in one of his last 2 games. And like I said, he's got 5 catches in 4 straight. So I think he is involved. Obviously, I think people want more kind of a higher yards per catch from him, and I would like to see that, to find the ways to get him where I think he's so good after the catch. When he came out of college at the U, he led all tight ends in the nation in yards after the catch per reception as in college. So that's something he's been very good at in the NFL as well, and I think that's what we need to try to find him. Baldy was referencing those stick routes. That's been a lot of what he's been getting, are those kind of stick routes where he just comes out against the zone, turns around about 5 yards, and then he gets in and usually gets hit. But those are kind of extensions of the running game. But if you go back to Baltimore, the very first play, they ran him on a deep over, and he picked up, I think, 20-something yards. So I don't think he's invisible. This is a storyline to me that I don't know is necessarily a real storyline.
All right, well, let's get to the storyline of the NFL, Nathan, because I told Kenny, maybe it's because the Browns have this rough go at it this season that I'm just not as into the rest of the league. But also part of it is just the quarterback play. I mean, Patrick Mahomes having his worst year probably as a quarterback. I know they're undefeated, so Owen would probably push back about some of that. It just seems to me that the league is a little down, but I can't really vocalize specifics as to why that is. How do you feel about the league this year?
I mean, I still think I love the NFL. I think it's an unbelievable product. I love watching it. I do agree with you. I think one of the biggest problems around the league right now is offensive line play. I don't think you're getting good offensive line play around the league, and I'm sure that's probably something that Brian Baldinger would have said yesterday if you were asked about that, because you're getting quarterbacks under pressure at a higher rate than we're used to. Teams are playing more shell coverages. They're limiting explosive plays. I mean, think about the Miami Dolphins, their inability to get Tyreek Hill down the field. Guys had 1,700 yards each of the last 2 years. So you're seeing a higher completion percentage than ever. You're also seeing a lower yards per completion than ever and a lower yards per attempt than ever for quarterbacks. So I think it's kind of the league ebbs and flows. And so right now it's kind of much more of a dink and dunk league, which is not as fun. I don't think it's as exciting. I think, you know, you'd go back to last Thursday, just over a week ago, that Ravens-Bengals game, that's fun football. To me, offensive football is fun football. I know there are a lot of people out there. I love them. We got a great defense. You love when the defense is out there shutting people down. But high-scoring games are fun to watch. People making plays, that's fun to watch. And you know, you always talk about a team like the Browns. You know, the Bengals are 4-6, but their offense every week is going to be fun to watch, and you know that. And so that's kind of what you hope over the final eight games, that we can get this offense to that point. But I just think offensive football has not been quite as good. I think defenses are bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been before. They're able to go sideline to sideline. They're playing that shell. They flow to the ball very effectively. I mean, even saw last night. And sometimes I think things that work early in a season don't work as well late. Cliff Kingsbury, if you go back to his entire career in Arizona, they were always an unbelievable first-half offense, and then it kind of petered off. And that's starting to happen right now with the Washington Commanders, and so it's something to keep an eye on. But I think offensive line has a lot to do with it. I think defenses being, you know, bigger, stronger, faster has something to do with it. And then the fact that teams are – they're willing to cede short yards and make you really work to get down the field, and that's not necessarily the most beautiful brand of football that you have in the NFL.
I'll tell you this, Nathan, you would probably be surprised. I agree with you. I mean, I tuned in for the entirety of the Denver Chiefs game. And, hey, I can appreciate two good staffs and two good football teams, go, at least a team that's growing in Denver, going after each other, playing a tight football game, making the most of each other's mistakes. But I would like it. Just give me one game a week where I can kind of just let my hair down and watch two teams go out there and score.
Yeah.
I think that that is a lot of fun. It might not be the quote-unquote best for hard-ass football guys, but it is an entertaining league. It's supposed to be an entertaining league, and that is entertainment. Let me ask you this, though. Aaron Rodgers, he done? Is it over?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels that way.
It does.
You can see he cannot move in the pocket like he once did. And I think, you know, for a lot of quarterbacks, it becomes very difficult when, you know.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And not like Aaron Rodgers was a big, huge mobile quarterback, but he was very good at extending plays, getting on the edges, and making plays down the field. You think about all those kind of like stretch boots that they would run when they had Jordy Nelson there in Green Bay, and he would hit those big shots over the top. That's not there. His deep accuracy isn't there. And I think that he's reached a point where his, we'll call it, because I know some people who played with him in Green Bay, and he was maybe not the most beloved teammate, but he was so dang good that it didn't matter. And now I don't know that he's good enough to maybe be the distraction or kind of overall influence that he is in a locker room, if that makes sense.
I agree. Nathan, 10 seconds. Are do you think that Caleb Williams is in danger of being ruined by the Bears? 10 seconds.
No short answer, but they need to make changes there. They need a new staff for him.
I love where your head's at. Nathan, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right, thanks, guys.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline. You hear him on the Cleveland Browns, University Hospital's Cleveland Browns radio network. He stands alongside of Andrew Siciliano in the booth and Gerard Cherry is on the sideline. You'll hear them at 1 o'clock coming up on Sunday. Joe Shad, I want to bring this up real quick. Joe Shad asked a question to Dolphins fans because he covers the Dolphins. Used to be of ESPN, and he covers the Fish for the Palm Beach Post. And he said, should the Dolphins ask or instruct Tua Tagovailoa to stay completely away from any potential tackles after a turnover? 74% said, actually almost 75% said yes. And my response was, all quarterbacks should be instructed to avoid tackling after turnovers. It's not going to make the situation better, and in some cases will alter the franchise and future beyond anyone's imagination.
I am in total agreement.
No quarterbacks ever. No. And unless it's a playoff game and it's what, like if it were the Roethlisberger situation, it's like, all right, knock yourself out because we're going to lose anyway if you don't get him. But man.
I just watched the Chargers last week and Justin Herbert had a ball tipped at the line. It was picked off. Who were the Chargers playing? I don't even know.
They were playing the Tennessee Titans.
He started running over there and he got juked right there on the goal line, and I'm like, no, dude, get out. I know you're mad you gave. Mm-hmm. And I know you're thinking, hey, if I could just run them out of bounds, then it's goal to go, but, you know, it's tough to score down here sometimes. It's not worth it. It's never worth it. Get out of the way. Let them score.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda ain't fun, but if Baker doesn't try to make, after Anthony Schwartz alligator arms that pass, and if Baker doesn't try to make that tackle,
does it change things forever here?
He gets probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $280 million.
It's crazy to think about.
I'm serious. He probably gets $260 to $280. Most is guaranteed. Out of the draft, God, who do you take? And then, honestly, we are arguing and bickering every day on the radio if he is a guy that can take us to the promised land. And the vitriol is strong. Like, now, there's very few people that will give us a fight. Like, nobody's calling in to say Deshaun Watson can still do it. It's over. That's done. And anybody who does believe that, they're going to put their head in the sand and they're not going to listen to this. So that's it. I'm talking to nobody there.
And hope we don't remember.
and hope we don't remember. But what if Baker doesn't try to make that tackle and they just live to play another down. I mean, he might have gotten hurt against Arizona for crying out loud, but who knows? So many things are different. I don't think that we are like Super Bowl champs. I can't guarantee that. But I think we're a playoff team multiple times, not just last year. I do think there is a big argument of, is he worth the money? Was he worth the tanking? Is he the type of guy that can get over? I think that he's the same guy. Like, is he as good as, can he be as good as and beat Josh Allen or Mahomes or Burrow or Lamar or any of that stuff? And those are much more fun conversations to have than, do you think Jameis Winston can play well enough to be the starter in 2025? That's a hell of a lot better conversation to have, isn't it? Boy, never ever. I don't care what level you're at. My buddy's son, who's the quarterback of our team, you throw a pick, son, get out of the way.
The humiliation of it and the rage of it that these guys start thinking, I can't believe that just happened. Now I've totally made a blunder and I have to try to fix it.
It looks bad. You feel bad. You're like, a lot of these times when they go to try to make the tackle, you're in either a pressure pack situation where you're trying to win and you have to go down the field, or you're on your way in. Like, you're at their 30 and you're thinking, man, this drive's coming together. We can put one in the end zone here and get going with this. And then you turn it over. It's frustrating. Usually there was a turnover earlier that day and you go try to make a tackle and you look terrible. Things like your shoulder being broken doesn't happen all the time. It just doesn't lead to good things. Stay out of there. Like, you and I having a great big argument earlier today, and then Daryl, which, guys, I love Daryl, but if we're going to do this, and we will, we are going to get into this in earnest. Which, by the way, I'm convinced they're going to take Jalen Milroe now because I don't want them. They're going to take him. They're going to take Jalen Milroe. I guarantee it. It's going to happen. Mark it down, Owen. We got to watch these games, guys. You can't just sit there and tell me, well, he didn't do well against Georgia Tech. No. Cam Ward, as of right now, Cam Ward's my guy. I like Cam Ward a whole bunch. Shedeur Sanders will be there. We can talk about Shedeur Sanders. But there is a conversation to be had, and I'll grant you this, and I will grant Daryl this. I mean, he doesn't need my permission for nothing. But if Jameis Winston plays well enough over the final eight games, okay, we'll see where it goes. Because you could win some football games and then be out of that position where, do you want to trade up for one of these guys? Would that be it? Because I see the mock drafts, and you got Travis Hunter going number one overall. I think that there might be some teams at the top of the draft. Maybe they don't need quarterbacks. But I think that usually, you know how this league works, Anthony. Like, these guys, some of these guys are going to go right up. I mean, at this point last year,
they're all going to get overdrafted.
At this point last year, J.J. McCarthy was just starting to rise. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the year, it's like, third-round pick. Third-round guy. You'll come in, be a hell of a hand. And now you got Cam Ward going number two overall, according to Ryan Wilson, to the New York Giants. Cam Ward, number two. He's got us taking Tet McMillan, who's a tremendous wide receiver out of Arizona. I worry about his injury history. And then, of course, Chris Trapasso has us taking Jalen Milroe. They're going to take Jalen Milroe. He has us taking Jalen Milroe over Cam Ward. Can't wait for my future. That's going to be fun.
All right. Well, you can always change your mind, too, if he's good. Bo Nix last
can
year.
I?
Did he end up going 12?
Can I? I just started. I screamed at you at 640.
And where did Kenny Pickett end up going?
Number 20 overall. He's the first quarterback off the board.
They're all going to get overdrafted. We know that. Obviously, right now, almost all the pundits are out on these guys in terms of guaranteed prospect. Like, this guy is going to come in and elevate your quarterback room. But I just know the way that this league works and how a lot of it, and I used to not think this. I used to think you're either good or you're not. Doesn't matter where you go. I think that's changing again. I think we're getting back to, it does depend where you go, and it does kind of help in certain situations.
Now more than ever.
And
I'm glad.
How's your offensive line?
Thank you for coming over.
Well, look at Nathan. Nathan just came on and was like, the offensive line play in this league is terrible. But if you can go to a team that has a decent offensive line,
it has become more important than it's ever been. It's a cyclical league, and maybe at some point we might get back to, hey, you're either good or you're not, and that's it. Because there's some guys that are just undeniable. You know, I made the biggest case ever back in the day. Like, Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be Patrick Mahomes had the Browns taken him at that time. I don't know. That talent is just undeniable. I don't think I could. But, like, you look at Caleb Williams, and I went off on a diatribe during the preview show a couple of nights ago. Well, why, if you were going to make a change, why didn't you just make a change there? Like, that seems so Brownsian. Well, we're going to leave the head coach there, and he's going to have his offensive coordinator there, even though no one's going to respect him. And then we're going to bring in Caleb Williams. I go, the only thing that's changed between for Caleb Williams is the jersey, and that you're officially being paid for the job now. That's it. I mean, they're going to win based on you. They're going to win based on whether or not you can get the ball to your wide receivers. Your offensive line is still not good. Your defense is better with the Bears, but your defense is still not that great. And it's still based on all you. You need support. These guys will need support. And that's maybe the best argument I can give to a guy like Kevin Stefanski, where, like, I don't care if they win or if they lose against New Orleans. I'm not going to care about Kevin Stefanski's job and saying he must lose his job, unless it's just egregious coming up on Sunday. Because I know that they said, well, it's a fireable, in the afternoon, they said it's a fireable offense if they lose to New Orleans. I don't know. Can he take care of a good quarterback? I mean, he had a guy once who looked like he could take care of a good quarterback. Can he do that?
Will it even be Kevin Stefanski?
That's the thing. Can he do that?
You know, grooming this guy.
Because you need support with these guys. 216-474-0092. Let me get to Josh. Got to go quick. Go.
What if Baker never threw that pick and busted up his shoulder? I love that we're actually having this conversation. I would think...
Well, it was a sidebar. Hey, I don't know if it was a full-on, but go ahead. Quick, go.
But let's think about it. Right now, he's still... The one thing that's been consistent with Baker is he keeps getting new coordinators, and right now, in Burrow, the most passing touchdowns in the league, top five in every category in terms of completion percentage, yards, and all that.
Yeah.
How would he look with the two-time coach of the year if he would have just stayed Pat and you keep all your draft picks? Because I hear a lot of people kept saying at the time, screw the contract, this is what quarterbacks get paid. So screw what you were going to pay Baker Mayfield.
Honestly, Josh, thank you for the call. We'd have three more picks, so who knows where we'd be with those guys. And then we would be probably arguing whether or not he has the goods to make it over the hump with all those other guys. And there would be an argument about, well, should we just cut bait with him because he ain't good enough to play? That would be brought up as well. But no, you'd be in a better position. Let's be serious about that. And that's why you never go try to make that tackle.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Korean to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.